Amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Prophetess Valerie Burrell. We are grateful and thankful to God to join you on tonight. We are especially excited this evening for our guest, Mrs. Regina Lee, an awesome woman of God that God allowed me to encounter just a few days ago. And with the book that I saw and have began to read, Regina, amen, and just her spirit and how she shared with people just a few days ago, as I stated, God, the Spirit just said, let her share her story. So, Regina, thank you so much for being with us on this evening.
Well, thank you, Valerie, for having me. I do believe that it was divine intervention that our paths crossed the other day.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you all a little bit about Regina and that she is the CEO of a business consulting firm and a corporate trainer. Right now, she is directing the Williamsburg Transition Group, and this is a Christian-based group comprised of a diverse group of people that volunteer their time. These are people from the corporate world, from small business, government, and military backgrounds. Their aim is to aid those who have been displaced with transitioning, and they help with resume writing, interviewing techniques, and networking. From that, a book, The Eagle Maker, God's Grace During Job Transition, that really captured my attention. And so, Regina, I'm going to let you share with our listening audience how it came about. I know I heard a little bit about how God did this and how the Spirit birthed the Eagle Maker, but I'm going to allow you to share that. And then there's some just key points that the Spirit led me to today that I'll come back and ask you after you share. Amen?
Amen. Okay, great. Well, I will tell you, I'll start with telling you that, you know, I didn't even know that the Williamsburg Job Transition Group existed, and it wasn't until I was actually going through my own job transition, so to speak, that someone at my church came to me and said, I really think that you should consider going to the Job Transition Group this Wednesday morning. And, you know, I was in the middle of my own transition. It was a huge transition, which I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit, but it was one of those types of transitions where your world is turned upside down and one of the last things you want to do is go be with people. And so when this gentleman approached me and said, you know, I really think you should go to this job transition group because there are a lot of people who I think could help you, I was like, oh, I am so not ready to be helped yet. Then when he told me that the group meets every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., I said, well, I am really not going because at 7 a.m. in the morning, you know, it takes me all but every ounce of energy I have to get out of bed, grab my cup of coffee, and try to decide what I'm going to tackle for the day. So it was not an opportunity I quickly jumped on. And, of course, this was Sunday because I was at church. And that Wednesday morning came along, and I did not even give it a thought. But at like 5 o'clock in the morning, I was wide-eyed and could not fall back asleep. And God was just like, you got to get out of bed and go to this meeting. And so I did. When you say that you are really called by Spirit, that, you know, God pulls you in the direction that you need to go in, I think that's what he was doing that morning. And to kind of fast forward, after going through several meetings, I had started going to the group in, I believe it was the summer of 2009, around July. And by the time May 2010 came along, the gentleman who had started the group was going through his own transition, and he was actually leaving the area, and he was asking the group if there was someone who would like to step up and be leader. And, of course, again, I didn't give that any thought, but all heads at the table turned and looked at me, and they said, oh, no. You know, have you guys not seen, like, where I was, like, less than a year ago? I don't think I could lead this group. And through through, again, the spirit just pulling me in the direction I needed to be pulled in, I was asked to seriously consider it, which I did. I did accept. And when I was going through that change of command, there, whenever someone has led an organization for a very long time, there's always, you know, it's always a bumpy start trying to figure out how you're going to take a leadership role and lead the group. And someone at my church had suggested that I study eagles to kind of get some inspiration. And that study of eagles grew into a 10-week devotional, that a 10-week study devotional that turned into this book. And lo and behold, The Eagle Maker was published, and we now give this book out freely to members who come to our group who are going through their transition and need strong emotional support. And we try to get the word out as much as we can that the group exists, that the book exists, and we're here to help through spirit and divine guidance.
Amen. 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 I watched you all, you know, again, divinely, when we are led by the Spirit, and as you shared how you felt the pull of the Spirit, when your flesh was like, no, we're not getting up and we're not going to that meeting, no, we're not ready, and the Spirit was just like, okay, you don't have a choice in this matter. I do believe, with everything in me, it was divine, as you said, that God would allow me to be seated beside you, because there were a lot of vendors there. We could have been stationed anywhere, but divinely, God allowed my Bluefield College to be beside you for me to get the insight and to hear your testimony and to see the work that blessed me that day, but I know also blesses so many more that take the time to really understand the transition that happens between jobs and the great work that you all do with the transition group and this book, The Eagle Maker. Now, in the book, you all, there are several chapters, and thank your husband, your wonderful husband, for allowing you to take this time to share with us, Regina. That means a lot.
he's pretty awesome.
The striking power. In chapter 7, The Striking Power, I was looking at that, and I think that's one area that when people are in transition, they feel powerless. So often, they feel powerless. But one thing that you shared, about the questions, how we sometimes will find doubt, and, you know, questions that you're asked, why I'm turning my calls, why do all my efforts seem useless? Is God really hearing my cries? And these are things that I think people face with job transitioning, but they also face in life. And the prayer, I'm going to read you all the prayer at the end of the chapter. It said, Heavenly Father, we long to be filled with your Holy Spirit and the continued obedience to use the Bible to keep our enemies' fear, uncertainty, and doubt at bay. Arm us with the truth of John's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Today we affirm that we trust in you, dear Lord. Amen. When people are faced with these moments where they're saying, God, do you hear my cry? God, what's taking place? God, why are they not calling me back? Beyond this, and even in your personal experience, how was that coming about where you could understand that it was in this that you were able to strike his power to allow you to overcome? How was that, and how is that for you when dealing with clients?
Well, let me first tell you that chapter 7 happens to be my husband's favorite chapter. And whenever someone is asking me for an excerpt from the book, that is the one that he always encourages me to use. And so I find it rather interesting that you were called, I guess, to talk about that chapter first. You know, the whole experience that I went through for our listeners here, I owned a retail franchise, and we were doing quite well, and without any word from the franchisor filed bankruptcy, and we lost everything. And so it was a very long process of trying to figure out what the next step was. There were Class A suits. There was what do we do with renegotiating lease agreements and bank loan agreements and everything. And in the end, we couldn't save it. And I really feel that the group helped me to find my striking power, because I, prior to leading the group, did not, I mean, I've always been a very spiritual person, very connected in faith, attend church regularly, but that didn't necessarily mean that I was versed or connected to God's word. And I needed to be more diligent about reading God's word, reading the Bible, and really not just reading scripture, but understanding the meaning behind the scripture in order to lead this group. And so I'm fortunate that I have a very close connection in my church, because I have served on our leadership committee. I also have a friend who is a minister. My friend, it's her husband who is the minister. And so she really guided me a lot in very early on as to what scriptures to look for. And not just for the book, but whenever I was like, okay, this is my message, and I would send her my message, and she'd be like, oh, you need to look at the scripture. But she never said, this is the scripture you have to choose. But she would give me several choices. And so I needed to really do my research, not just finding the verses and learning the verses, but then digging a little deeper and understanding the real context behind them. And the whole premise of chapter 7, where we have to rely on the Bible, it became so clear to me. And I have to foolishly say this, because I don't want to highlight my ignorance, but that's truly what it was, is that, you know, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know God's word. And I kept thinking the whole time when I was beginning to learn it, while I was struggling to lead this group, how silly it was for me to go all of those years and not make a concerted effort to learn it. And these are principles that have stood the test of time, you know, written thousands of years ago. And here we are, we can still learn from them. And it's written for everyone. And there isn't a situation of adversity, joy, heartbreak, sorrow, that isn't addressed in the Bible. So people need to turn to it more often in order to help get through the trials that they're going through.
Amen. 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 Woo! You're preaching good, Regina. You're preaching good. You're preaching good. it is awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Again, there are so many nuggets in this, and time will allow me to touch base on all that I've gleaned in just the little while that I've had this book. But in chapter 9, Flying with Eagles, for listeners, we have several of you on the phone lines and several listening on the web. We thank you. At any time, if you have a question that you'd like Regina to answer or comment, please do press 1 and we can bring you live. In chapter 9, Flying with Eagles, your lead scripture is from Deuteronomy 33:27. It says, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. In this, you share with us eagle lessons you learned from your community of like-minded eagles. And there's some significance there, not just the lessons learned, but the mind to know that you have to be around like-minded people to get out of situations into the newness that is awaiting you. And you've shared with us a little bit about how you gain strength through this group, even such that it moved you from just being to now directing. But it took like-minded people, which would allow you to be on one accord in order to make that happen. Some of the lessons you shared are: do not deflect, think positively, remain vigilant, recognize the good, be self-aware. Speak to us about those particular eagle lessons. Why those? Why did those get the print?
Wow. Well, there are so many lessons, but those particular ones, I think, made it to print because they were the ones that were the most challenging for me to overcome. Deflection is so easy to do when we are doing what I call, you know, wallowing in the downward spiral. And we want to blame our circumstances, the people around us. Again, we might even cry out, God, why me? And, you know, we have all heard the saying, why not me? And, you know, to turn that phrase of why me into why not me really makes, you know, a negative into a positive, turns a negative into a positive. And deflection is so easy for us to do because we feel comfort in blaming other people, blaming the circumstance. It's all due to something that, you know, out of our control. We didn't do any of the, you know, anything to contribute to this. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that even in my situation, I reflected back and I thought, you know, there were some things that I could have done that could have moved things in a different direction. I waited too long to act upon the news that I heard, which was one thing, but then I really just wanted to blame so many people that, you know, since it happened in such a short amount of time, why did they take our money? Why did they allow us to sign on that dotted line? And why did they allow this to, they knew what was inevitable in less than a year. I mean, why did they pull us into it? I mean, it was crazy, but it was the people around me who just kept saying, it doesn't matter what has happened. You have got to stay positive and you have got to focus on the future. And when you focus on the future, you can't deflect. You cannot deflect what hasn't happened yet. So deflecting and positivity kind of go hand in hand in that regard. If you can just stay positive, there really isn't anything to deflect because it hasn't happened yet. The negativity hasn't hit yet. And the less the negativity hits, the less there is to be able to blame, the less there is to be able to see the fault in what has happened. Vigilance, oh my. I had to be vigilant. I had to keep going to those meetings because as much of a struggle, you know, I struggled. The book talks about my struggle going to the meetings. I mean, I was willed to go and pulled to go, but there were times where I couldn't talk at the meetings and I couldn't, I didn't feel like being there, but I was there. And I knew as I started to come out of the dark place that I was in that I couldn't have done it without the people around me. They were the people who not only were my eagle-like eyes towards the future, but they had been there before or they had experienced it before. And they were somehow able to just wrap their arms around me and say, you know what, we really do understand. And I know that when sometimes adversity hits, we think people can't understand. They're not in our shoes. They're not walking the walk that we're walking. And you think, how can they possibly understand? But the people that I was surrounding myself with, they did understand, and it was amazing to me, and I think it was God who was telling me, they do understand, and they can help you get through this. So that's when the recognition and the awareness began, when I just listened to God saying, stop trying to think they can't understand, rather start thinking that they can understand.
Amen. 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 I'm going to read you all the prayers at the end of that chapter. These prayers are also, it says, by grace, God, you called us to be sanctuaries, to find security and strength. Bless us, O Lord, that as we continue to hold fast to your faith, we will eventually catch the wind of your spirit underneath our wings and soar high above whatever troubles are before us. We long to walk the walk every day, doing as Jesus would do. We pray for your strength and grace, like that of an eagle, so that we may truly become what you created us to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, oh, oh. Just good. Just good. Just good. In the end, you have this page, trust in the power of God's word. And you say the following is a note from someone unable to come to the job transition group anymore because the person found a job. Thank God. I want to share this note with you so you can trust in the power of the Holy Spirit and all God has in store for you. You will be lifted in his glory and purpose. And this reads, when we talked last time, I told you how important the job transition group had been for me and giving me a biblical perspective on my situation. It helped me to hang on to what God had in store for me instead of rushing off in a panic to take the first job I could get. If I had done that, I would have never found myself in this current position, which has tangible and intangible benefits I would never have imagined. One thing I should have said is how important every single individual is to the group and how every one of them has made an impact on me. I know that God placed me there to ease me through the emotional trials, providing relief and peace. That's powerful. And I know that that's just one of many testimonies that you all have gotten with the job transition group because of the work that you do. But in all that you've experienced, Regina, and all that you do on a day-to-day basis with the group, for someone new coming in that's facing this now, they've lost their job, they've lost money, they're at the verge of losing everything. If you had to sum it up, what would you share? I know they're going to get the book, but what would you share? What would you say to them and to the listening audience on this evening that may not be going through the job transition, but you're in a place in life where you're transitioning from one area to another, from one dimension of his glory to another, from one phase of your assignment to another? These words will also apply to you. But with your insight, with the anointing that you have for this work, Regina, what would you share? What would you share with them on this evening?
Well, that's a very powerful question because, you know, my heart is always so full with ideas and things that I want to be able to do in our community and be able to share with people. And I don't know if that is the teacher in me or the spirit in me. I guess probably a little of both. But,
amen.
You know, the one thing that sticks out in my mind is I always think, are we really making an impact? Because there are weeks when our group is small and, you know, we might go a couple of weeks where someone new hasn't come in and asked for our assistance. And so I am always questioning, is our work really serving the community in the capacity that it is? And it makes me think about all of the other groups that are out there, whether they are Stephen ministers or they are other support groups within church environments or community service environments, that, you know, they have a passion for what it is that they do. They want to be able to help. And, you know, I guess when we are with our church family and very much like this group, we are faith-based. We open up in prayer. We have a devotional that is specific to overcoming adversity and or very specifically job transition. And we do deal with the financial aspects of it, the emotional aspects of dealing with our family members who may not feel like we are moving fast enough to get a job, or our need to identify that within ourselves that makes us feel that we're not worthy to get the next job. And when I think about all these elements of what our group does, to me, the underlying current is this. There are a lot of groups out there that are very good at what they do. But it is so important when you are going through a trial, a tribulation, something related to adversity, that you truly identify the group that specializes in care, emotional care, and spiritual care for the very specific adversity that you are going through. Not to say that there aren't other groups that can't help. Following a recipe, you want to make a very specific dish. So you pull out a recipe and you follow it. And that recipe will not only tell you the ingredients, but it will tell you the order in which to put those ingredients together, which is very different from, let's just go to the grocery store and buy the ingredients and try to put it together ourselves. And so it's really important that you find the group that specializes in the care you will need for your specific adversity, because they are going to be the recipe, not just the ingredients. They're going to put that recipe together in the order that you need to put it together in order to make the dish, which is getting you to the other side of the adversity.
Woo, woo, woo. Woo. I hear you. I hear you. Listeners, y'all hear that. There's strategy. That recipe is God's strategic plan. And you have to allow yourself to be like clay in his hands, that even though this may hurt, even though you question, God, why me? And he's saying, why not you? That I may be glorified in the earth through you, and how you're handling this situation. Be mindful of the recipe, as Regina said. Be mindful of the strategy that God is going to use to pull you through. I can identify with this. I had one of these moments in life as well where I was like, God, I've lost this. My home, it's like I lost everything but my sanity. Thank God. And so I can identify with this and know that God will bring you through. Our time is almost up. Regina, can you give the listeners contact information for you and for Williams Job Transition Group? Amen. There may be someone who needs you right now. Amen.
Absolutely. We meet every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., the hours from 7 to 8. And we have been throughout Williamsburg at different locations. We do move around simply because we want to be able to serve the community. And right now we are meeting at the Wellsprings United Methodist Church on Long Hill Road. It is on a bus line, so if anyone needs to get there and they do not have transportation, we are on a bus line, and there are buses that drop off right in front of that church. The website address is very simple. It is jobtransitiongroup.com. And on that website, you will find where we meet, the times we meet, directions, It will talk about our history and how we began in 2003, where we knew that there were a lot of career readiness and there was a lot of help in the community for people who had lost their jobs and were seeking jobs, but there were no groups that were doing it from a spiritual perspective. And so Bill Wright, our founder, started this group, and they'll also learn the services that we provide and what Bill saw as a real core foundation for what our group should do to serve the community. So a wealth of information on the website, jobtransitiongroup.com, and they can even find my email and telephone number if they wanted to contact me directly.
Amen. Well, we thank you so much, Regina, for your time and for the wealth of information and ministry that you've shared with us. We thank our listening audience and those who are online. For those available, we ask that you join us again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. We'll have a special guest, Apostle Dr. Brenda Conyers, who will share as the Lord leads. As always at the Empowerment Place, we encourage you each day to do something to empower yourself. But once you've been empowered, then take the responsibility to empower someone else. Again, Regina, we say thank you and God bless you for what you shared with us tonight. Let us all become eagle makers and understand God's grace during whatever transition in life we may be facing. Good night and God bless you all.
Thank you, Valerie.